When folks join Southwood, we ask them to attend two classes. One is Discover Southwood, and in that class, basically what we do is we explain to people, you know, the kind of the background behind our church, our history, what we believe, our vision, our sense of mission, what our values are, that kind of thing. And I also go into, just briefly, the expectation that we have of our members to connect, to get involved in some way. And so the second class that we have for them is connect with Southwood, finding a connection in the church, whether that be serving as an usher or a greeter or the choir, a Sunday school teacher, cafe host, a reader. Maybe it's serving as a quilt maker. You know, we're dedicating quilts today that our quilt makers make close to 1,000 every year, and we send all over the world. It may be serving in our community or in a mission trip to like Honduras or Tanzania. Lots of serving opportunities. There's also connecting into like small groups, and we're doing the Creed study here starting next week, and so we're going to have lots of small groups meeting and growing in our faith as we study the Apostles' Creed and kind of get grounded into that document that is such a basis for our faith. But it's finding connections, and the reason why connections are so important is, number one, it helps us get to know other people, especially in such a large church. And number two, it does something to us. When we are connected, something happens in us. It happens when we serve, when we're somehow giving of ourselves, of our time, of our energy to something greater than ourselves. Something happens to us, and that's service. Service, of course, is one of our mission words. You know, our mission words, worship, grow, serve, give, invite. Service is central to that because that's what a Christian's supposed to do. We're supposed to be servants. In fact, Jesus said it himself. He said, I have come not to be served, but to serve. And the lesson today says we're supposed to have the same mindset as Jesus. We're supposed to have the same attitude about how to do this life with Jesus. And in the first four verses of that passage from Philippians, it kind of gives us a sense of what that looks like. There, the passage uses words like encouragement, love, tenderness, compassion, joy, humility, interest, investing yourself in the interest of others. And it says something, do not, some of the do nots are selfish ambition or vain conceit. So we get a picture of what this service looks like. And in my understanding of service, it's much more than a volunteer opportunity. Service to me is an attitude. It's having the same mindset as Jesus Christ. And I want to take those verses, those first four verses, and kind of just create four points of thought for us as to what does it look like to be a servant. And the first thing would be that we have to have hearts that are tender and compassionate. Now that seems like, well, in a church, of course, we have to have hearts that are tender and compassionate, but that's not easy, especially in the world in which you and I live in, is it? I mean, a lot of people hear the Christian message, and they hear this message of being tender and compassionate and loving, and they're saying, you mean I just have to let people walk all over me? Is that what you're saying? And I'm saying, no. But that's the trick. How do we live in a world that isn't tender and compassionate many times and keep our hearts tender and compassionate to people that we can truly care for? That's not easy. Many of you are married, and at your wedding, you probably had read the verses from 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love poem that St. Paul wrote. And in that poem, he defines love in very practical ways. He says, love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Now, is that the world we live in? Patient, kind, not arrogant, not rude, not jealous, not not insist on its own way? My guess is you're thinking, oh, there's parts of the world that aren't like that at all. You might even work in a place that's not like that at all. And yet that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to, how we're called to live. That's why I think it's important to connect with other Christians, to connect in worship, to connect outside of worship with other Christians, to be reminded it's not an easy task to walk as this servant of Christ in the world. And we need the encouragement and support of one another, because we don't live in a world that appreciates the tender, compassionate hearts that we seek to bring. Another thing that's a part of, I think, the servant mindset is the mindset, the attitude of giving and generosity. Now, again, this isn't a natural thing. I think giving and generosity is taught. We have to learn it. We have to learn it. Our natural go-to place is self-centeredness. That's our natural go-to place. We were taught that at a very young age when we were infants. We can't remember this, and it's sad because this must have been a wonderful time. Because when we were infants, all we had to do is cry and somebody would take care of our needs. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know? Just all I have to do is go, ah! And somebody, oh, what can I do for you? I mean, that's the way we were raised, right? And in Genesis, the book of Genesis in the third chapter, it reminds us that's kind of our go-to place, that turning in on ourselves, self-centeredness. To be giving and generous really is saying, I've got to learn a new way of doing life. And you know, as Christians, we believe four things to be very important in terms of being giving and generous. Number one, God owns it all. I don't own a thing. I have my name on a lot of stuff, but let's face it, when I die, when you die, we don't take any of that with us. Somebody else gets it. God owns it. What we get, number two, is we get to manage it, use it to the best of our abilities while we're on this earth. So how we use it is very important. Why? Because number three, we only get one life to live. So we're given what we have, and we have one life, and we get to choose how we're going to use it. And so, what kind of life do you want to live? What kind of legacy do you want to live? I'll give you an example. When you die and you have your funeral, do you want somebody to get up in front of everybody at your funeral and say, wow, he and she did everything they wanted, and they got everything they wanted, and they just enjoyed their life so much because they got everything they wanted and did everything they wanted. What a wonderful life they had because they did it all. Or do you want somebody to stand up and say, I can't imagine this world without them in it. That meant so much. They touched so many people. They made such a difference. Man, it's going to be hard. This one's hard. This one's hard. What kind of life do you want to have to be remembered when it's all said and done? My guess is you don't want a life where it's all about you. You want a life that really made a difference. And that's where giving and being generous comes in. Is that when we understand what we have is what God gives us, and we get to manage it, and we have one life, let's use it so that we can make a difference. Another thing that says in the scripture lesson, the word humility is mentioned. Humility, I think, sometimes is a misunderstood word. Sometimes people think that humility is just kind of laying over and letting people walk all over you. I don't think that's what humility is. I think humility is really knowing what you really believe and being secure in that enough to listen to someone, especially to listen to someone who may believe something very different than you, and not being threatened by that. I mean, listening is an incredible example of humility. I was at a restaurant a couple weeks ago, and near me was a table of five. And I've used restaurant imagery before in my messages. And the one image that I see a lot in restaurants these days is that people go out to eat, And this is what they do when they get to the restaurant. They're on their phones. They don't even look at each other. This table was completely different. They were all talking at the same time. No one was listening. It was as if everybody was trying to get a word in edgewise. Nobody was listening. You know, when you have, and I'm sure you've experienced this, when you have someone who really listens to you and really wants to know what you have to say and understand what you have to say and really cares about what you have to say, that really is an act of love, isn't it? It's an act of love that they really care. People, we just don't listen very well anymore. I mean, we talk all the time. There's always information. We even have, you know, we even say TMI, too much information. We need to listen. It's an act of humility to be secure in who you are as a child of God and to listen to someone. And just in listening, you care for someone. I mean, think about Jesus. One of his greatest acts of humility was washing feet at the Last Supper. He washed the feet of disciples. I did this once years ago at a Monday Thursday service. I had my feet washed. It was the most uncomfortable thing I think I've ever done in church. Having somebody wash your feet is really uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. I would much rather do the washing than have my feet washed. I really would. Because it's so humbling to think that somebody would wash your feet. Now, of course, we do that as a sign of servanthood that Jesus modeled. He's not saying that we should go out and wash everybody's feet. But that humility is powerful in our day and time. And people know the love and care that we have and our complete servant heart when we humble ourselves. And the final piece is investing in others, having an interest in others. If you're a parent, you're investing in your children. It's huge. What you do for your children is huge. If you're a grandparent, you're probably doing it for your grandchildren. If you're a mentor, you're mentoring a mentee. If you're teaching Sunday school, you're helping to develop the faith of a child. If you're a teacher in a school, those are very obvious ways that we invest in other people. But we invest in other people when we encourage them. When we encourage them, all of us need encouragers. All of us need cheerleaders in our life. People that keep patting us on the back and saying, I know it's not easy right now, but keep going. I've been very lucky and very fortunate. I'm sure you have too. I can look back on my life and see a lot of different people in my life who have been those kind of cheerleaders that have cheered me on and have given me the strength and the endurance to sometimes get up and keep going even when I didn't feel like getting up and keep going. That's what it means to invest in other people. And when you put all those things together, you get a sense of a servant mindset, a tender and compassionate heart, a giving and generous spirit, a sense of humility, and a commitment to invest in the lives of other people. Now think with me. There's probably 550 people sitting in this church. Are there ushers? How many people are sitting in here right now? 600 and some? Okay, that was a little. 600 and some. Now, if all 600 plus of us were to adopt this attitude of being a mindset of a servant, think of what difference we would make. Now, in the first service, we had about 500. Next service, we're probably going to have about 500. So we're going to have 1,600 people or so. 1,600 people or so in church. Think if all 1,600 had the mindset of a servant, what a difference it would make in Lincoln, Nebraska. 1,600 people. Now, what about if every Christian in Lincoln, every Christian from every church in Lincoln, had the mindset of a servant? Think of what it would do in our community. And now, think about this. There are 2.2 billion Christians in the world. If 2.2 billion people had the mindset of a servant, think of the difference it would make in this world. And when you start thinking in those terms, that's the way God thinks. God's thinking, I've got all the